1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to the magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4 here at 10:10 a.m. And, of course, with me, I didn't even say who I was, did I, Greg Isaac?
You did not.
This is Greg Isaac, the host of the magazine, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdogan.
No, you're Dave Isaac.
What did I say?
I'm Greg Isaac. You said this is Greg Isaac.
I did?
Identity crisis.
Yeah, no wonder everyone gets
I am in a crisis.
Dave Isaac is the host. I'm Greg Isaac. And
I'm
Joseph.
Patrick Fischler. I don't know.
Joseph Iardo.
Wait, Tommy, did I say Dave or Greg?
Erdo.
Oh, all right. I think we do a play on names.
Yeah,
you picked it up. I'm proud of you. I did it purposely. Okay.
Wow.
Anyway, the magazine, heavy in entertainment. We love the show, don't we, Joseph?
I love it. I'm stressed out though. We got a big show. This is the biggest entertainment show that we've had to date.
Wow. And you want to tell our listeners who will be on today live, and I think you have a pre-recorded one too, right?
Yeah, we have a quick pre-recorded interview as well. But joining us here in a few minutes is Patrick Fischler. He is you might know him from Lost and Mad Men. He's going to be co-starring with Kate Bosworth in Big Sur that just recently premiered at Sundance, and he's got a short film called The Test. It's going to be at the Phoenix Film Festival, which is coming up. And speaking of the Phoenix Film Festival, at the end of the show, around 3:40, we have an interview with the president and founder, Chris Lamont. And so we'll ask him, you know, what to look forward to.
And that's, I understand, April 4th to April 11th of
absolutely.
This year. Harkins 101. I love that movie theater.
Yeah, it's a nice theater. They got
they have
the
Capri
that big
one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Capri.
Yeah.
Remember, it used to be at Camelback and like 20th Street or something.
Yeah.
There's petitions saying, "No, don't leave."
Yeah, and they've got all the old stuff from that original theater.
Yeah, they even hung up one of the shoes I lost.
Really?
Wow. I couldn't believe it, right, Greg?
Cinderella.
They did.
Cinderella.
And they named it Greg Isaac instead of Dave Isaac.
Yeah, and so who else? We've got Sarah Rue joining us at around 2:40. You might know her. She's currently starring in the television show with Reba McEntire right now, Malibu Country.
Oh, nice.
And she's also, we're going to be talking to her about her new film, Dorfman in Love. That Ooh. Opens this week. And then we've got the producer of Stuck. He's going to be, he lives here in town.
Yeah.
But he's on this bus. They're bringing this documentary about families stuck in the international adoption process. So he'll be joining us at 3:05. And, of course, in all that mix, we'll also have reviews of 7 new movies.
Oh, my, 7?
7 new movies, including...
I don't think I saw any movies this weekend. Go ahead, including...
including Incredible Burt Wonderstone, Stoker, The Call, Dorfman in Love. What else? Let me see here. Also, The End of Love, which we talked to Mark Weber
Love.
Last week.
Oh, yeah.
The
I
Girl.
Like them, by the way.
Yeah.
Very good.
The Girl.
I want to see that.
We spoke with David Riker a few weeks ago. And A Resurrection, a new movie starring Misha Barton. And then we also have a riddle.
Oh, I love the riddles because I usually win. That's what it is. You know, you're a busy guy, Joseph. I mean, how do you do that? And you stay in shape because regardless if I win or not, I'm not in shape. But the popcorn, I eat popcorn all the time. See, I took the words right out of Greg's mouth.
Yeah. Yes.
So do you eat popcorn at every movie?
No. Not at every movie. If I go to AMC,
isn't it better with
go
popcorn, though, a movie?
It is, yeah.
But how do you take notes?
How do you say no to popcorn? That's
how
I thought. What
Greg
I thought
will get an extra
there.
Large, and I'll
that extra large is gone in like 5 minutes, and I get
but
butter
you
on it.
Yeah,
all
he does.
Stuff.
I saw it once. Yeah. It was great. So anyway, wow. So Joseph,
I think our first guest is called in, Patrick Fischler. Again, his movie, his short called The Test is screening at the Phoenix Film Festival April 4th through the 9th. Thank you very much for joining us, Patrick.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are great. Thank you so much. This is Dave Isaac, and of course, who introduced you is Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac in the studio.
Back Excellent.
Thank you so much.
So, I got a chance to see this this film. I want to wish you, first of all, the best of luck. I know it's in competition, right?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And so tell me, your wife wrote this, right? Lauren Bowles?
Yeah, Bowles, actually. Bowles. She'd probably fall over if she heard you call her Bowles.
Oh, sorry.
We got Lauren online, too.
she wrote it. I came up with the idea. We knew we wanted to make a short, and so I came up with the idea while I was driving in L.A. traffic. And I told her the idea. She loved it, and she went away, wrote it, and brought me the script, and I said, I love it. Let's do it.
Oh, well, it feels a bit like a very intimate story. Is there any reality to this, or was it all just created by you in your mind?
The reality is, we are a couple, and they are a couple, and that's probably all the reality, I would say, because obviously it's about a couple taking a pregnancy test, and for my wife and I, it was very easy. We did it 3 years ago, and we have a beautiful daughter, and it was very easy. There were no problems, and obviously this couple is going through a lot. And maybe the sense of humor between them is a lot of who Lauren and I are. We've known each other for over 20 years. So there's a little bit of that in it as well, you know.
Oh, okay.
So as part of – I haven't seen this short, but does this reflect what you've seen in reality with people that may be pregnant and how it could change a relationship?
What I can say is unfortunately have trouble getting pregnant, and that can be a problem because it can lead to the conversation of what do we do, you know, and we've had friends that have had, you know, sort of difficulty getting pregnant, and luckily all of them ended up being able to have kids, but sometimes the stress of wanting them prevents you from having them a little bit at the beginning. Something the mind does to the body, you know, there's some kind of, it messes you up a little bit sometimes, and so I would say that a little bit of this comes from, you know, we've seen a lot of it around us. And, I mean, nothing is a greater change to your life than having a kid. Not getting married. You can get out of everything, but you cannot get out of being a parent.
Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of filmmakers refer to their movies as their kids. So using that that metaphor there, if this is your kid with Lauren, did it impact your relationship at all in a positive way?
That's a great question. It did. I would say we work fantastically together, and we sort of didn't bring it home with us a lot because that was kind of the deal. You know, we wanted to just be at home and not consistently talking about the movie while it was in pre-production, while it was shooting, while it was in post. You know, that was kind of our deal. So it came home with us a little bit, but we love working together. I mean, we have known each other so long, and so we love nothing more than working together. We have very similar tastes, and we both listen to each other, and honestly, I wish I could do every movie with her.
Awesome, awesome. And so is this the first competition that it's entering? Has it been in other festivals?
No, we actually just on Sunday won Sun Valley, Idaho. We won Best Short,
Which
was super exciting. And this is going to be our third festival. We were in Santa Barbara, where we did not win, but we then won Sun Valley, and now Phoenix is our third. The same weekend, actually, Lauren's coming to Phoenix, and I'm going to Soho because we're in Soho Film Festival, too. So we're going to be kind of going all around the country the next couple of months.
Oh, excellent. Well, I hope that you'll let her know that I'll be there, and, you know, hopefully Greg and Dave will as well, and we would love to meet her.
Absolutely. She's coming Friday, whatever that Friday is. I don't know, but she's coming doing a Q&A at the screening and all of that. So please, I'll absolutely tell her, you know.
Now, for the listeners, when you talk about a short, a lot of people may not know exactly what defines a short film.
Uh-huh.
How would you define that for our listeners?
You know, 1 minute to, I think the cutoff sometimes is 40 minutes.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Basically, yeah, like a feature is, you know, has to be, I think, about 80 minutes to be a feature to get released and stuff. So most movies you see in the theater are, you know, 90 minutes to 2.5 hours, 3 hours these days. So with shorts, they can be anywhere between, you know, very short to 40 minutes, and we fall in the 13-minute category. And basically, it's just a way to tell a story with a beginning, middle, and end, and, you know, just in a short amount of time.
Well, that's sort of cool. Now, I think my original question was, if you were pregnant, how does that affect people? But it looks like this is something where they're not pregnant. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, yes, they are. They've had a hard time getting pregnant.
Yeah.
And in this, you catch them at a moment in their life that is about everything's about to change, and they are taking, you know, pregnancy tests when they've kind of given up on having children.
Gotcha. That's interesting because the emotions involved on that have to be, can be, I should say, very intense, especially where it feels not in your control.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's not, there's only so much you can do, you know, and so I don't want to give too much away about where they are as a couple, but they're really at a real precipice, and then this is, you know, a surprise that this is even going on, that they have to take this test, and something, you know, each time something goes wrong with the test, or we can have a 13-minute movie, otherwise it would be 3 minutes and over.
Gotcha.
But that was sort of the way we had to come up with different ideas. But, it's challenging as a couple, too. It's a challenging time.
Now, Patrick, you've had a great career, a fantastic resume, you know, in the films like Speed, Mulholland Drive, Old School, Dinner for Schmucks, a lot of great films.
Don't forget
films.
Twister.
Twister.
Love Twister.
You can't forget Twister.
Absolutely. A lot of great ones. But looking at Old School, you know, I love the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Fun movie. Was it just as fun working on the set with everyone?
You know, it was a complete blast, I got to say. It was Will Ferrell, I mean, and that was early on for him, too. And so just him and, I got lucky with Piven, who I think is, you know, hilarious, with Jeremy Piven. And we had a great time. I would say it was just a bunch of guys sort of hanging out and being together for about 2 months, just making each other laugh. I mean, it was really fun.
Dinner for Schmucks is, you know, probably my favorite of on your resume. Just because that was just such a heartfelt movie and just as humorous. Was that difficult to play such a wacky character in that? You were the guy with the bird, right?
With the vulture, yeah. No, that was also even more so than Old School. Like, I feel like I couldn't have laughed more than that time. Steve Carell and Paul Rudd, just all they do is they're sort of comedy geniuses, and you just want to sit and watch them. And then I was surrounded by all these incredible other supporting people, you know. It's so funny. I mean, one of the schmucks with me was Octavia Spencer, who won the Oscar last year for The Help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was the psychic schmuck. I mean, like, so we all just had such a fantastic time. And I got to do, like, a week of training with this bird. When will I ever hold a giant vulture? You know, I mean, I have pictures of vulture training, you know, and I laughed because there was a whole scene in the movie that actually was cut. It was the opening to the movie where I'm doing my show with the vulture and it attacks all these kids. And they had a kids' party, and it ended up not making it into the movie. And that was what I did most of the training for, because I had to like throw the bird in the air, and it was just a surreal experience.
Wow. Well, and now your next big one is Big Sur, with Kate Bosworth, and I understand that was just at Sundance. Could you tell me about your character in that and about that project a little bit?
Yeah, that's based on a Jack Kerouac book. After On the Road, many years later, when he became famous, he couldn't deal with the fame, and he went and escaped to Big Sur. And this is a book about that time of him escaping sort of his fame. And I play one of his best friends, this guy, Lou Welch, who's actually a real person who has passed away now. He, in a random side note, was Huey Lewis's stepfather, which is just a weird... He raised Huey Lewis, which is a weird side note. And he was an amazing writer and never sort of became successful and sort of drank himself to death. And it's about his friendship with Kerouac and Neil Cassidy and these other guys. It's a really interesting, cool movie.
Wow. And did you actually attend Sundance then?
I didn't because I was shooting, so I couldn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
sadly, I was not able to be there, but apparently it went great and they had a blast, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing the movie. I've only seen segments of it, and that should come out next year, as well as Two Guns, which is I'm in this summer, which is Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Oh, I can't wait for both of those then. You know, because the reason I mentioned Sundance is, I mean, it's film festival season, of course, but, you know, it's got to be really exciting for you. And, you know, can you tell me about your experience so far? I mean, of course, you just won, you said, but, you know, what's the experience like? Are you nervous at all going to this?
You know, it's such a weird... It's like you submit, you do all these submissions, and you get accepted to some and rejected from some. I mean, it's like dating. You just don't know what you're going to get. It really is. It's like, you know, you just... And so the only one we've been to so far is Santa Barbara, which was phenomenal. So that was sort of our premiere, and we had a great time. But, yeah, I got to be honest with you, I got up and stood in the aisle in the behind the theater to watch the short. I couldn't sit in the seat the first time seeing it with an audience. I got a little nervous. And I probably won't do that again because we watched it again in Santa Barbara the second time it showed, and I was fine. And then sadly, Sun Valley, which we won, I was shooting, and so we couldn't go. So that was the one we won. We weren't able to be there. But it's really exciting, man. It's a great to have your movie just show all over the country and get different reactions from different people. It's like, I can't wait. I can't wait for all of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we want to congratulate you again on your recent win and wish you the best of luck with the Phoenix Film Festival. Again,
thank you, guys.
Again, let Lauren know that, you know, we'd love to meet her, and I'm sure that, you know, everyone that comes out to the festival would love to meet her. You said on for that Friday, so April 5th, right?
April 5th, and I think it's like a 5:30 or 6 o'clock show, the shorts program that we're in, and she will be there doing a Q&A, so any True Blood fans will be very excited to see my wife, you know, and to see our little short.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, thank you so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Can't wait to speak with you again.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, take care. Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, thank you. Wow, that was great. So Lauren, she's coming out. She's on True Blood?
Yeah. She's one of the characters on True Blood.
That's a very popular TV show. I mean, it's on
HBO. HBO,
yeah. Uh-huh. But I think even little Shelley watches that.
Yeah, I think she does.
Yeah.
But, no, he's great. I mean, not just...
How did you forget Twister, though? I love that show.
I thought I said it in there, but, yeah, no, he's...
No, I was counting.
Hey, he's done a lot of great things and some memorable characters, especially, you know, in Dinner for Sharks.
Yeah, the bird one. That was funny.
And, you know, obviously with Old School, you know, a
hysterical.
Lot of great stuff.
Uh-huh. I love that. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Are we going to have a movie review right after the break?
We'll do three movie reviews and maybe our riddle, and Sarah Rue again coming up at 2:40.
Great. We'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.riiadvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to The Magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4 here at the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo.
All right, Erdo.
Oh, very good. That was a great interview. Patrick Fischler, very talented individual, no question about it. Looking forward to seeing this short.
Yeah, and I can, and I think that I can say, because, you know, I'm judging at the festival this year. I'm judging the feature films category.
That is so cool.
Yes, it's very exciting.
Our own Joseph Erdo.
Hi, Erdo.
So I'm in the magazine and everything like that in the little the program.
That is neat.
So we'll probably talk more about that later. And but I think I can say, since I'm not judging that category, that you know, that's a great short, that the test. And
oh, nice.
So I think that you know, hopefully the judges for that category select him.
That is so cool. That is really cool. Sounded like a great idea. Greg, you want to speak?
I do. I want to put to a retirement the Erdo Iardo. We'll just stick with whoever says your name first. Because I realize it slows us all down sometimes.
No, it doesn't slow me down.
not technically, but you
I
know,
didn't notice it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll just stick with one last name.
Erdo's, when you say Erdo's fine.
Yeah, when you say it Erdo, I'll still say Iardo. But
oh, you will?
You know, when you go and do one of your business meetings during the breaks, then he introduces, then you can do the IR.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Okay, so we got some movie review before Sarah Rue comes on at 2:40.
Yeah, well, let's start with our riddle, because I want to make sure we get to that.
Yeah.
And now give the call, the listeners a chance to call in this time, okay,
okay,
Dave?
Oh, yeah, I was good at this, wasn't
yeah,
I?
You jumped the gun last week. And so, again, if you know the answer, there's no prize, just the prize of being on the radio and you know, everyone knowing how smart you are at the cinema trivia.
And talking to the well-known Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac.
Okay.
Yeah, you want my autograph? Meet me at the festival. all right, so the call-in number here at KXXT is 602-296-3632. Again, that's 602-296-3632. If you know the answer, what movie is this? The Windy City and One That Is Wet, Two Lonely People Who Have Not Yet Met. A small boy travels to the Empire State. What movie is this that is also a remake? You know it? You think you know it?
I think I do. Oh, but
okay.
we'll have to see if
I say it again one more time.
I'll say it one more time, and then we'll do some of our reviews and see if anyone can guess it. And if they don't by the end of these first reviews, then you can share it with them.
Okay.
All right. So, again, that is The Windy City and One That Is Wet, Two Lonely People Who Have Not Yet Met. A small boy travels to the Empire State. What movie is this that is also a remake?
I know it.
Yes.
I don't know it. A remake?
Oh my. Yeah, it's a remake. You might not have known that it was a remake.
That's a very good one.
So again, that's 602-296-3632, 602-296-3632, if you know the answer. And
That's a good one.
Yeah. So let's do some of our reviews.
Yeah.
Now, the big movie of we'll talk about first in this segment, the movies that opened last weekend that we didn't get a chance to talk about. The Call was probably the big movie. That opened at number 2 with $17.1 million. Pretty decent start considering, you know, wasn't that widely marketed. I think that the studio just picked it up at the last minute, something like that. But Halle Berry stars in this as a veteran 911 operator who, upon taking a life-altering call from a teenage girl played by Abigail Breslin, who has just been abducted, realizes that she must confront a killer from her past in order to save the girl's life. Essentially what happens is, you know, Halle Berry gets this call. She's a 911 operator. She gets this call, and she hears this abduction in progress. The girl is later found dead. And so she has like kind of a nervous breakdown over this, quits her job, or shifts in the 911 operating business to maybe a training position, and then she stumbles upon this call from Abigail Breslin's character, who is in a trunk of a car. She's just been abducted, and as it turns out, it's the same guy that abducted and killed the last girl, and so she's got to save this girl before something happens.
Wow.
So, does that sound like a good movie to you? Is that something like that interests you?
Yeah, it sounded sort of suspenseful, and I think it could happen. You know, if you're a 911 dispatcher, I think sometimes you're put under a lot of, isn't that right? 911?
I've always thought of it as 911, but okay.
Well, isn't 911 the same thing?
It's the same thing. Yeah.
I look at things differently.
Well, there's not an 11 on the dial pad, and I don't want to confuse people out there.
Yeah. if someone needs to call and they don't know who to call.
Yeah,
they,
like, I can't find the 11. Dave Isaac says that it's 9-11.
I'm going to sue you, Dave.
Oh, all right, 9-1-1. I stand corrected, sirs. So, all right.
Greg, but, does that sound good to you?
But yeah. I bet that would be interesting. I bet things like that could happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. This looks... It looks really good. It looks very suspenseful, maybe some mystery involved with it. And, you know, Abigail Breslin's a good young actress, and you can't go wrong with Halle Berry and her berries. So, you know, it looks fantastic.
She's got a weird hairdo in this movie, I'll just say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Abigail Breslin is definitely growing up. You can hardly tell it's her anymore. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this kind of reminded me of of Cellular when I first saw the trailers for it. One of my favorite, you know, intense movies of all time. This one starts off wonderfully, very intense, very suspenseful, just like edge of your seat kind of stuff. Second that phone hangs up, though, at a certain point, I mean, I think the writer wrote, his name is Richard D'Ovito. I shouldn't have tried to pronounce it. But
I think he did it.
Possibly, yeah. He wrote himself into a corner, and the end of this movie is terrible.
Oh.
Critics are unanimous with this, which if you look up reviews online, they'll all agree with me. This movie is three quarters of an excellent movie. I mean, silly, very silly. A lot of just, you know, ridiculous things happen. But the end just completely runs its head into a wall multiple times, becomes a strange mix of, you know, maybe like I Spit on Your Grave. There's some torture stuff involved, and, you know, wow. It gets really weird and just, I mean, I hate to use this word when I review movies, but stupid at the end.
So that could ruin the whole first three quarters.
It you know, it could.
Yeah.
It brought it down to a 3 zine for me. It would have definitely been a 4 zine. If it wasn't so silly, it could have been a 5. But, you know, it was definitely a 4. And then the second that phone hung up, I dropped it down to 3. You know, even that might be generous because, like you said, kind of ruins the experience for the rest. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth, especially if it's in the end, right?
That's too bad.
Yeah, but you know, still worth a watch. You know, so that's a C.
Yeah.
That's worth a watch. Now let's see. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone opened at number 3, $10.2 million. I know you were excited about this, Greg.
Yeah.
Steve Carell plays a magician who splits from his longtime stage partner, played by Steve Buscemi, after a gorilla street magician, Jim Carrey, steals their thunder. Jim Carrey's character is like Chris Angel, right? That kind of a character. Not really magic, just kind of like stunts. But by spending some time with his boyhood idol, Alan Arkin, he looks to remember what made him love magic in the first place. So is this a comedy? Does this look like something that you guys would be interested in?
What was it called again?
The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Ooh, I like that name, Wonderstone. who played Burt again?
Burt is Steve Carell. Yeah,
I would say yes. I would like this movie.
Yeah. All right.
What about
Greg?
Absolutely great cast with both the Steves and, you know, and Jim Carrey, and at least from the previews, the trailers, it kind of looks like the. You know, and I like a lot of what Jim Carrey's done even recently, but it almost looks like the old school Jim Carrey is coming back in his character, maybe like how he was in Ace Ventura or Dumb and Dumber. So I will say I want to see it badly. I haven't seen it yet, and I think it looks good.
And now behind you in there, I think that Tommy's excited. He wants to say
something
about Burt Wonderstone.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to include Tom with the call.
I don't like it.
No?
And why is that, Tommy?
Jim Carrey's too exaggerated.
That's what makes him fun.
Well, okay, you know what? I was told by a family member not to put down Jim Carrey because they knew that, you know, last week you were so excited about Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, in The Mask, all those things.
Right.
In this, it was terrible.
Really?
He was terrible in this because it was very exaggerated. He was way over the top, and he actually was kind of annoying. Huh. I mean, the way his character kind of like
Jim.
Ends the movie is... And I won't spoil it for you, but it's
right.
way over the top.
Wow.
Way over the top.
Okay.
His fans might like it, though. It's good to see him in any movie.
Sure.
You know, because he's kind of like been MIA. The movie itself, it's always nice to see these actors. It's kind of like Jim Carrey, even though his performance isn't that great here.
Uh-huh.
It was just cool to see him on the screen. Uh-huh. I'm a big fan of The Office, and as I said earlier, Dinner for Schmucks. So Steve Carell, you know... really liked watching him. Steve Buscemi is a great actor, underrated actor.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Arkin, I know a lot of people like him. I think he's great as well from Little Miss Sunshine, speaking of Abigail Breslin. So great cast in this. Them alone make it worth watching. Uh-huh. The story just it doesn't have the magic. You know? I hate to be used
the
pun.
That's a three zine, I bet.
It is a three zine. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Wow.
You know, it's just not special. It you can't transform this amusing magic wand into a boisterous bouquet of flowers.
Nicely said. Did you
Thank
write
you.
That?
Yes, I did.
He was brilliant.
Very
Joseph
creative.
Aero.
Yes.
Jim Carrey on line one.
Yeah, I would talk to him, but not for this. But yeah, so you know, it's still worth a watch because of the actors. Just not nothing special there.
Right.
They do use some really cool music. You know that Abracadabra song.
Sure.
Is that Steve Miller?
I think I know what you mean. Yeah.
Some band. I don't remember. Yeah. But I was in my head for days after I saw this.
Right.
Yeah. So finally got it out. So now next we have Stoker. Mia Wasikowska plays a friendless young woman who becomes increasingly infatuated with her uncle, Matthew Good, played by Matthew Good, who, having moved in with her and her emotionally unstable mother, played by Nicole Kidman, may have ulterior motives. This is playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. Directed by Chan... Wook Park. He directed Old Boy several years ago. I don't know if you remember that one.
No.
They're remaking that one. Oh. So you'll hear that name
again.
Oh,
there's the answer to the riddle.
No, that's not the...
Oh.
No, we'll give the answer to the riddle here in a second. But does this movie sound good to you? It's been on our webcam feed for some time, the trailers.
Well, any movie that has Nicole Kidman in there, I would want to see. Am I right, Greg? Or is she not a Kidman anymore?
No, she's very much a Kidman. I don't know. I don't know if that actually sounds good or not. No, she's still great. You know, pretty good
like
cast.
Starman.
Harmony Korine, who I know directed Spring Breakers, and Lucas Till, who I had on before, and I think we'll have on another clip as well. This is tough for me because the storyline it actually looks interesting. So I'm going to say. It looks like it's actually a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd like it because I might get maybe bored with it.
Yeah.
Perhaps I like a lot of the goofy comedies. But I know there's some mystery involved. So actually, that's going to put it up. I'm going to say it does look good, and I think I would somewhat like it.
Well, you know, and you're kind of right on the money with this because it does kind of get boring at parts, especially when they try to explain the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of like spaced out there, you know, in movies how you really get into it and then suddenly it's like, I missed that. Can we rewind? No, it's a movie theater.
Right.
I kind of got bored in certain parts of this, but it is so strange. This is a very depraved movie. But I mean that in the best possible way. It's very perverse. It's poetically perverse, though. It's like an artistic, weird movie. And, you know, and that's a great quality. This was written by Wentworth Miller, who starred in Fox's groundbreaking television series Prison Break, probably my favorite series. By the way, we're going to have some clips on, I believe, next week or 2 weeks from now with one of the stars of that as well. And but you know, this is great. It's got a lot of symbols, imagery, you know, savagery, strangeness, you know, just a very odd creature. But I'm giving it four zines.
Oh, okay.
So it's a B.
Nice.
I would definitely seek it out. Harkins Camel View 5. And as you said, Lucas Till, we do have a quick clip from him, Tommy, of Lucas Till. He plays, he's got a smaller role in this, but he plays a bully, kind of. And, you know, I asked him about, you know, does he like playing bullies? And he said, so, you know, there's some humor in that, and he really likes to play, you know, it's kind of therapeutic. I know you've asked people that before, Dave. It is therapeutic. But, you know, especially with being directed by Chan Wook Park, I asked him what that was like, and here's what Lucas Till had to say.
I remember going in the first time, actually, for the audition, and then I had just gotten back into town or something, and I went in and I saw this Korean director, and I was like, oh, neat. And then I went in and auditioned for it, and I was like, I didn't really know what I had gone in for at that time. I just read the script, I was like, wow, this is interesting, and I went in and I came back, and I had watched Old Boy like a week late, or I had just watched Lady Vengeance like a week before that or something. And then I watched Old Boy, and I was like, holy crap, wait a second, who directed this movie I just went in for? And then, sure enough, it was Chan Wook Park, and I was like, no way. Certainly, I've worked with directors that have been prolific and make a lot of money and are really good at what they do, and I always love doing that. But it's not. I've never worked with one of those directors that I've been like, there's never going to be a chance in a million years that I will work with this person. That's why I'm such a big fan of them. And I did get that opportunity.
Yeah, so, you know, again, great film. You know, just a little bit boring here and there.
Four zines.
Yeah, and I think that we stumped our listeners. again, I want to read the riddle and we'll give the answer. I'll let you, Greg, give the answer because I know that he has it. He kind of like motioned to me. The windy city and one that is wet, two lonely people who have not yet met. A small boy travels to the Empire State. What movie is this that is also a remake?
Wait, let's say it at the same time.
No, because I'm going to say something leading into it.
Oh.
Is that okay?
Well, let's both say something leading into it.
All right, I'll say one of the...
You say Tom, I say...
Meg.
And I say Ryan, and you say?
Hanks. And that's not what I was thinking of saying.
Oh.
But I was going to say Meg Ryan from Chicago, Tom Hanks from Seattle.
Yes.
Little boy obviously going to New York. And
Sleepless.
Yes.
In Seattle.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a good
it
movie.
It is, yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I think we said on a previous show, and I think on our Valentine's Day episode, that we all kind of liked You Got Mail a little bit better.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Why
happened?
Why you like You Got Male? I like You Got Female.
Yeah.
No, really. I don't understand.
Good one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All right. There we go, ladies. Oh, should we take a quick break?
Sure.
And when we come back, we will have another special guest,
Sarah
Rue, coming up 2:40. This is The Magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4 on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business.
Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to the magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4 here on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, starring Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Dave Isaac. Well, you didn't say it.
Which one are you?
Iardo. So I said it for you. Okay, anyway.
I told you we put that to retirement.
I know.
But it had to retire.
I approve of it.
I'm the boss. All right, I'm just kidding. No, he's the boss.
You don't even know your name.
I know my last name.
Greg.
No, they took me to your house last time. Okay. So that was great movie reviews.
Thank you.
The incredible Burt Wonderstone and Stoker.
Yes, and we'll have four more movies to review here in the next hour. All these are opening this weekend. Dorfman and Love, The End of Love, The Girl, and A Resurrection. So we'll review all those.
Wow, that sounds good. And then coming up, Sarah Rue in just a few minutes, I suspect.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that she'll call in. She might be running a couple minutes late. But let me tell you about the movie first.
Yeah.
She plays a single suburbanite who volunteers to cat-sit at her unrequited love's downtown L.A. loft and meets another man who appreciates her, thereby prompting her to transform not only her mess of a loft, the mess of a loft, but also the mess of herself. So she likes this other guy, and he doesn't like her. You know, he doesn't give her the time of day more like doesn't. And but in cat sitting at this loft, she meets another guy, and you know, kind of finds someone who might appreciate her for the first time in her life, and she can, you know, be herself for the first time in her life instead of pretending to be someone else.
Well, that, you know, that's good, because that's my observation anyway. When two people meet, two people pretending to be someone else that they're not, being on their best behavior, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense, right?
Oh, I know.
Why do people do that, really? Greg, why do people do that, mister?
I have no clue.
Oh. Well, Joseph, why do you think people do that?
I think it's hard to be yourself. I think that it's intimidating.
Insecurity.
Yeah,
you know, people will go, well, she won't like if I'm like that, so let me act this way. Or for the girls, you know, oh, he won't like if he knows that about me. Okay.
That's a good voice.
Well, thank you. I'm going to call Seth MacFarlane to see if he can get me on Family Guy next season.
I hope so. Yes, well, you know, I think that we see ourselves as we see ourselves instead of how other people see ourselves. If we were to kind of like look at how other people see ourselves, we would, you know, we would finally, you know, be able to break down the barriers and say, you know what, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
If I stop criticizing myself, then I won't think that everyone else is.
That's
because
easy
guess
for
what?
You to say. Well, it's very bad. No, I agree with you. No, really, think about that. It's people, because it's going to catch up with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's going to catch up with you, because if you pretend to be someone else, eventually you will be yourself, and you might as well get over with it quickly to see if people are compatible. Am I correct? The yawning Greg man.
No, I think you're absolutely correct, both of you guys. I mean, I think part of it is, like we said with insecurities, is parts intentional and parts sort of unintentional, where maybe you might change the way you act, but you are sort of doing it on purpose, but not really meaning to do it. So I guess it just depends in a way. But, no, you're right on there with that, because it happens, with everyone, basically, you know. So,
well, yeah, that's the culture of dating, being not who you are. Mm-hmm. and get divorced when they find out. Right? Am I right?
Yeah, so you got to be up front, like in the 40-year-old virgin where Paul Rudd's, you know, going around, Amy, Amy. No, I'm just kidding, not like that. But
I don't remember that.
You don't remember when they're at the 30-second speed dating thing or the 2
minute speed
dating thing?
Oh, that was so funny. Oh, I love that.
One of the best scenes in the movie.
Do they still do speed dating?
I think they do somewhere, you know.
Have you ever been to a speed date?
Never have.
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
He left empty-handed.
No, I hold the record for the fastest date. It virtually lasted 172 seconds.
Well, that's less than that would happen. When
so, you know, I met her, and that was it.
I go,
I'm sorry. Who do you expect? Paul Newman? Clint Eastwood?
They didn't realize it'd be
Tommy,
Ron Jeremy,
our producer? Yeah. And they said, quite honestly, we were expecting Tommy, our producer.
Well, it looks like Sarah might be having a delay. We're trying to get a hold of her, so we'll see. If she can join us, and if not, we'll, we can reschedule.
And we're doing some philosophy here, right?
Yes.
Entertainment show, the magazine.
Well, and did you guys see any movies? Did you see anything the last week?
I don't think I did. How about you, Greg?
I have not, actually.
Oh, no, I was at the ABA, American Basketball Association, playoff games Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Ron Tilley, owner of the Arizona Scorpions. Nice guy. Really nice guy. And no movies for me. Maybe on TV. Let's see. Did I see anything on HBO or something?
How would I know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I did. I love this movie. It's probably
in
my top 10. Tombstone.
Okay.
I watched it over and over.
I think we talked about it before.
Yeah, quite a bit.
A couple years ago. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it was. The very first show. I didn't see anything new. Trying to think if on TV anything. I don't think so. I know in theaters I do want to definitely see Burt Wonderstone and The Call. I had Stoker stuck in my head, and I'm like, even though I think it looks good, and you said how it was, at least in theaters those two stood out a bit. But I don't think there's I'm trying to think, because what happens is we'll talk about movies we've seen. I obviously know I haven't been to the movies in the last couple of weeks here. But in terms of Redbox or watching on cable or whatnot, I don't think I've seen anything in the last week. But what will also happen is right when we go off the air, I'll say, oh, yeah, I just saw that. I forgot. So that happens quite a bit. But,
Here's what else is coming out this weekend. Again, we're going to talk about some releases that are coming out this weekend. But, these we'll talk about next week. There's an embargo today and can't review them until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so what? So Admission, that's starring Tina Fey and Paul Rudd. That's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, I like them.
I think at the beginning of the year when we were doing our year preview, you were excited about that one.
Yeah, very excited.
And The Croods, an animated film about cavemen, Neanderthals.
Huh. I don't know if I'd like that one.
Okay.
Animated?
Animated, yes. Animated film.
Yeah.
And let's see what else we have. Olympus Has Fallen.
Yes, I like that name. What is it about?
It's about the White House has been taken by terrorists.
Oh, a certain party on the other side?
Well, George Bush isn't in office anymore.
So, okay.
It stars Gerard Butler.
Oh, he's good.
Okay. Yeah. So he's
great as the leprechaun. Or both the leprechauns.
Yeah, that's true. Movie 43.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll find out if that one's any good. And let's see, what else? On the Road. Speaking of...
Like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. On the Road Again. Oh, no, that was a song. Tommy, help me out here. He was yawning and laughing at the same time.
It's Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. It was Willie Nelson. But remember...
It's a good combination, though.
But
Bing Crosby and Willie Nelson.
But Tommy, you remember Bob Hope and Bing Crosby?
Oh, yes.
They did On the Road movies. Now, that was way before my time. Okay, back to Joseph Erdo.
Yeah, it wasn't before your time. You were there at the time.
No, I was a director, producer. Yes.
Well,
Dorothy L'Amour. Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
We'll see if we can. We're still trying to get Sarah Rue on the line. I know that we are working on it, so we'll see if we can get her. But let's do one of our reviews, A Resurrection. This is playing exclusively at AMC Westgate 20. It opens tomorrow. Mm. Misha Barton plays a... You remember Misha Barton,
No,
right?
Not at all.
Absolutely.
Who is she?
The OC?
Yeah. Right. I didn't really watch the show, but I know who she is. Yeah,
she's cute, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kind of skinny, but cute.
Yeah, 7.8.
Okay. So, Misha Barton plays a, wow, high school counselor who tries to help a mentally ill student, played by J. Michael Trautman, who believes that his brother is returning from the grave for revenge on the students who killed him. So, kind of a thriller, kind of a horror film mixed together, right? So it's all about, you know, a resurrection, all about, you know, coming back from the dead.
So ask me if I'd like it.
Would you like this?
Probably not, because I don't like horror films. Okay, that's my analysis. Greg?
Dave is scared of them. You know what?
I'm scared of The Blob in 1950s.
Yeah, Devin Sawa, exactly.
You know what? I do like some type of horror movies. I like the Halloween movies, the Screams, sometimes some of the ghost ones, but I don't know about a resurrection. I'd say I don't know if I would be seeing this one.
Okay. Well, we're going to review it in the next hour because I think that we might have Sarah Rue on the line, and we'll see here in a minute. But I also want to say that in addition to Devin Sawa and Misha Barton, we have Michael Clark Duncan is in a resurrection as well.
Yeah.
And you know so.